And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to the program. Alex McFarland here sitting in for Bishop E.W. Jackson on today's edition of The Awakening. Very, very honored to be with you all. Hey, the number is 888-589-8840. There's a lot in the news we can talk about, but I want to say what an honor it is to be on the American Family Radio Network and to be subbing for a man for whom I have just immeasurable respect, Bishop Jackson, and don't really feel worthy to be doing it, but I feel very honored to sit in as he is away today. And as we get into the program, and before we go to the headlines, I want to share something from the Word of God. And I want to talk about the fact that we get weary. Maybe today, I mean, maybe you're a Christian and you're a patriot. You love the Lord and you love this country. But we all get tired, we get fatigued, and sometimes we have to remember that God is so faithful. I think about in Deuteronomy 2, 1 through 7, when Israel is on their way to the Promised Land, and they get to this mountain called Mount Seir, and they're circling around this mountain. And it says, we turned, we made our journey in the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. Or in other words, going round and round. And maybe you've been at times in your life where you thought you were just like going around in circles. And God says to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 2, look, this is not your mountain. I've given you some land, but it's a different land. And don't meddle or get in a scrap with the children of Esau. This is their land, and don't steal their food. Don't steal their water. If you want their meat or their water, pay for it. They're afraid of you. But remember this in Deuteronomy 2:7. And I want to give this word for anybody who might be weary in the journey right now. Deuteronomy 2:7. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Folks, I was in a Christian bookstore a while back, and I saw this book. It was rather humorous. The title said, God Has Never Let Me Down. And the subtitle said, He's Really Scared Me a Few Times. But think about it. God has never let us down. If you're today weary and concerned, and you're unsure about the future, and maybe you've got family issues or financial issues, or maybe just, you know, you're just tired. Remember Deuteronomy 2:7. Remember these things. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows where you are in your journey. These 40 years he's been with you. I love how the King James renders Deuteronomy 2:7. Thou hast lacked nothing. So right now, if we were to open up the phones, and maybe we'll talk about this with some callers. I'm sure we'll talk about it with our guest. That you look, folks, you're in for the next few minutes of powerhouse content with our guest. But remember these four things. Number one, God has blessed you. Number two, He knows where you are in your journey. Isn't that a blessing? He is with you, and you have lacked nothing. Rejoice in these four realities. God has blessed us. We're blessed in so many countless ways. Number two, we have been on this journey, and God knows where we are in the journey. Isn't that wonderful that God knows exactly where you are in the roadmap called life? And these 40 years, just, hey, tell me the time God ever dropped the ball and didn't come through for you. You can't do it. He's been with us all these years, and ultimately we have lacked nothing. God is faithful. Well, one of my best friends in the world, and certainly in all of ministry, is a dear brother named Kamal, K-A-M-A-L. Kamal is hands down the most requested speaker of any of the speakers in the Truth for a New Generation tour all over the country. This man is the personification of faithfulness to Christ. And he's going to be with us for a few minutes. Kamal, are you there, my friend?
Yes, I am. It's good to be with you, Brother Alex. God bless you, my friend.
God bless you. And, you know, I have an accent. Kamal has an accent. My accent is from the South, down where there's, you know, barbecue and cornbread. And Kamal, tell the listeners who may be wondering, where is your accent from?
Well, I was born in Beirut, Lebanon, but I learned my English and studied in Europe. So I have a mixture of, Middle Eastern, European, and American accents mixed together. But I refer to myself as the Muslim from southern Lebanon, which is who speak with a southern accent. So therefore,
you've got a little bit of a southern accent, right?
Yes, sir. I sure do. I think it's really helpful because Jesus was from southern Jerusalem.
Well, amen. That's good to know. That's good to know. And folks, a little bit of backstory, then I want you to hear some of Kamal's story. And then I do want to talk about some headlines. And Kamal, I want to get your take on some of the news today. But we worked together at Focus on the Family, and we became friends just right away. I think from the moment we met, and you were in computers and IT with Focus on the Family. And I said, you need to be a preacher. And so tell people a little bit about your story and your history, if you would, Kamal.
Yes, in a nutshell, I was born in Beirut, Lebanon, to a Muslim Sunni family, and my life started over there, and it was different than the American lifestyle. We are 14 brothers and sisters, lived in a three-room house, living room, bedroom, and a kitchen, and our life was so simple, but the thing that I remember that I grew up with is the love of Allah and the love of Islam that was taught to me by my mother from my childhood. And therefore, my mother said, one day you will die for the sake of Allah by killing non-believers, and you will bring the glory to Allah, you know, for everything, Allah, which is the God of Islam. And so therefore, I was brought up from my childhood to be that man. And at the age of seven, I used to climb up on the rooftop of our building in Beirut. And Beirut is a cold city in the winter. And I used to take my clothes off and roll in the icy water and put my hand up to the heavens. And I cry to my God, Allah, Rabbi wa Mawlay, my Lord and my King, if lam takun li fa man li, if you are not for me, who will be for me? So I want to have a relationship with a God that does not speak, and I want to have a relationship with a God that is not looking for sons or daughters or a family. And so therefore I wanted more, and I didn't know that the true living God was drawing me into him. My life took me from series. My dad took me out of school at 6 years, at 7 years of age of seven, and then because I was not smart enough to go to school. So I worked, and my life took me through a series of really brutal childhood. And one day, running away from gangsters, I hid in a mosque from being beat severely three times that day. I came to be protected by these people, and they're named the Muslim Brotherhood. And so I was recruited in the mosque, and I was taken by them under their wing. And I was educated by them to really to be a stealth jihadi, a stealth, which is a jihadi that goes under the current of the nation and change the culture from within.
Hey, hold that thought, Kamal. We've got a brief break. Folks, you're listening to The Awakening on the American Family Radio Network. My guest, my Christian brother, Kamal Saleem. Stay tuned. Alex McFarland and The Awakening is back on AFR. Don't go away.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Should the federal government start pulling the tax-exempt status of religious organizations? Most Americans reject the idea, even though it was floated by a former presidential candidate who argued that no reward, no benefit, no tax break should be given to certain religious institutions. Unfortunately, you can find a significant number of other Americans who agree with this sentiment. That is why I think it is time to have a discussion about the tax exemption given to churches and other nonprofit organizations. Most Americans do not have any idea of why the government grants tax exemption, nor do they have much appreciation for the benefits these organizations provide for society. For example, there are approximately 350,000 religious congregations in this country. The vast majority of them provide various community services for people in need in their communities. One survey estimated that the economic impact of faith in America is around $1.2 trillion. Another survey concluded that religious organizations save government $2.67 trillion in social services. A few years ago, I quoted an author who suggested that all Christian institutions go on strike. It was more of a thought experiment, but it once again illustrates the benefit society receives from Christian influence. Imagine if Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist, and Baptist hospitals closed down. Imagine the additional load on the public schools if all the Christian schools weren't in operation. Imagine the strain on government if the soup kitchens and outreaches to the poor no longer existed. The secular mindset these days is that religious institutions are getting a free ride because of tax exemption. Actually, government and public funding are the ones benefiting from all the services provided by these institutions. That is why I think a discussion would be educational for our country. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For more information about issues covered on Viewpoints, visit pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
The Ministry of Preborn invites you to share your pro-life message through sharing heartbeats. You see, when a young woman considering abortion sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her preborn baby.
That ultrasound changed everything for me. It really did. That made it all worthwhile to know that I was going to have a little blessing. And when she got here, it was just, oh my gosh.
The Ministry of Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasound sessions in the nation, sharing heartbeats with young moms in crisis to help them choose life. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
Brian Fisher here. Nikki Haley blows the whistle on the deep state in the White House. Joe Biden tells us what he really thinks of Elizabeth Warren. We see why Democrats think Pete Buttigieg is an arrogant, sanctimonious smarty pants. And Democrats are starting to realize the bus they're on is headed over the cliff. Here's why they'll give up on impeachment and what they'll try instead. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Deuteronomy 2:7, remember the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord your God has been with you. And all of us can say this, if we're honest with ourselves, we have lacked nothing. Welcome back to The Awakening. Alex McFarland sitting in for Bishop E.W. Jackson. My guest, my dear brother, colleague, and friend, Kamal Saleem. And Kamal is telling us some of his story, and I appreciate this. By the way, folks, I've got to say this. I'm so excited. Now listen to this. Truth for a New Generation is going to be in Cincinnati this weekend. Kamal is one of the keynote speakers. Folks, guarantee, I've booked hundreds of speakers over the years, one of the most powerful communicators you will ever hear. You ought to hear him in person. And you can learn all about TNG, Truth for a New Generation, at alexmcfarland.com. Kamal, in the last couple of days, we've had a couple of hundred signups. People are coming from many, many states away. We are going to have a Holy Spirit time in Cincinnati Friday and Saturday. Folks, wherever you are, I would urge you to be there. And I just want to say thanks for making time out of your busy travel schedule to give us one of the keynote messages in Ohio this weekend, Kamal.
Yes, amen. And, well, the TNG, the Truth of New Generation, is one of the most valid conference that could take place in your community. And we should have something like this, since nothing is being shared in our nation and our, you know, churches and Christian organization. Everyone has different focus, but this will sum everything for our understanding, to bring all the issues that we're dealing with as a Christian community, and we will learn from there what we need to do, how to go about everything that faces us in the future. And we need to involve our young men and women in this, because it'll change their understanding based on what they're facing at colleges and universities, you know, that everybody's trying to reshape them in this world model. But this conference will bring not just reality, but truth. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And this is based on the way and truth and life that bring reality to everything to really cause a great awakening in our nation.
God bless you. Well, thanks for saying that. I want to get back to your story, but I will just say, folks, we've been doing for 22 years these events that, you know, we really started doing it for young people, and so many adults and grown-ups wanted to come. This will be the 45 or 46th one of these events that we've done, and, you know, we've done one or two or three a year. Kamal, I would do one every weekend if we had the infrastructure to do it. But folks, Truth for New Generation will equip you to answer the hard questions. How do you know God exists? How do you know the Bible is true? How do I parent if I have a prodigal child who's fallen away? What about homosexuality, transgenderism? Kamal is going to be speaking about Islam and Christianity, and really, what does the world situation look like with the growth of terrorism and things like that? And in just a moment, we're going to open up the phones if you want to ask Kamal a question. The number is 888-589-8840. But back to your own journey, brother, how did the true and living God, the Savior Jesus Christ, get a hold of your life, Kamal?
Well, I was commissioned to come to the United States of America by the Saudi, you know, royal family. And I was sent here to really cause a stealth jihad. So my position was to change the schooling system, the professor, system, and also the political system, which is we buy the politicians, you know, with God amendment, and also to infiltrate the poor neighborhood and bring about, you know, to their simplicity that something greater that can offer them something better in life, and also to infiltrate the jail system and can cause converts, vast converts. Our ultimate, you know, thing is to cause a great divide in the nation, in the United States, where we can create a clash between the ranks of people. And that is the Muslim Brotherhood that I came with, to establish this. And one day I had a car wreck. It was so severe that, in result, I cracked my neck in two places and my collarbone and my entire one side, and it was devastated. And three Christian family reached out to me, and they loved me unconditionally and started sharing with me the love of God and took me to their home. And in their home, I was being changed, because my eyes were open according to the word of God, that the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers. Let the gospel of good news open the eyes and the ears of their understanding. These people were the biggest Bible for me to read. And now my journey was changed. And I was measuring my God and your God, who they are. And I came to know that I am the terrorist. For one God loved the world and one God hated the world. One God brought his son and the spirit of adoption of Jesus Christ. One brought about the orphan spirit, and one God gave his life and his blood, and the other orphan man took nearly 2 billion lives. You know, and one opened the eyes of the blind, and one said to the blind, you are not good enough to be used by Islam. One said to the women, you are, you know, the prostitute that is about to be stoned to death. He said, you know, he said, go sin no more. Where are you, accuser woman? He set her free and he gave her liberty. Jesus Christ liberated women for the first time in biblical history. while the other one, when the prostitute came to him, to Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, and said to him, I want to be a good Muslim. And he said, you are number one woman, which is you're not equal to men, so you have no rights for that. Number two is you are a prostitute, you are blemished, so therefore you could not be a Muslim. And he commanded her stoning to death. And now he was the first one to cast the first stone. And when I saw this, I came to the knowledge, oh my Allah, I am the troublemaker. I am the one who caused all this.
You know, I love that you said those people that were caring for you, they were a big Bible for you to read. That was like their love and their Christian compassion to you. That was a pretty powerful witness, wasn't it?
Oh, it was the best thing ever happened to me because, you know, as a Muslim, you know, I grew up not to believe in people because in Islam, the ideology, the doctrine of deception, it is valid to be used. So if you are not in the life of another Muslim, you can lie to him, even if he's a Muslim. Why? Because he's not equal to me or he's not in the same brand of Islam I'm in. So, but when you look at the Christian, and I was looking at these people, and they were sharing unconditional love, and I did not believe anything, but their action were more powerful than anything they said, and how the husband served his wife, and the wife served the husband, and how they taught their children to be leaders and honest. It was just like, it was an awakening for me.
Yeah. So what was going through your mind, Kamal, when you thought, oh my goodness, these people are the infidel, and yet the infidel is showing me love and compassion?
Yes. Well, it was like this. And the first thing, these men would come once a week, and they were, you know, they were over 60 men, and they would have a Bible study, you know, and these men, you know, it is Jesus once, he said, it's been said to love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you the truth, love your enemy. And he went further. But, you know, and these people, they put me in the middle of the room and they held hand and they prayed over me once a week for my healing, for my everything, knowing that I was an injured, you know, man, and they knew that I was something, you know, could not be, probably be fixed, but yet they gave everything they have. And they opened a basket every week that's for Kamal Saleem, and they took finances to forgive my what I owed to the hospital, and in process they bought me a brand new car to replace my old car. But nevertheless, I was watching their action, and I started falling in love with the people that I was taught to hate. I was taught to kill. I was taught to terrorize, and now their love terrorized hell out of me.
Wow. That is really powerful. Folks, maybe you've got a question, and this is a rare opportunity to speak with a dear brother. I've known Kamal for 15 years plus. I don't know a finer servant of the Lord anywhere, and he's one of our speakers at Truth for New Generation. Maybe you've got a question for him about how to begin to share the gospel with a Muslim person. And the number, if you want to call in, it's 888-589-8840. And Kamal, let me speak to this. Speak to the people that maybe, even as a believer, they feel anger against Muslims. And we should, while we reject Islam as an ideology, and we reject terrorism, obviously, but we need to remember that these people have a soul that's going to live eternally somewhere. We need to have compassion. Speak to the people about having the love and the compassion enough to share the gospel in spite of the cultural barriers. And well, wait a minute. Hey, can you hang on? I hear a break, Kamal. Can you stay with us,
yes,
brother?
Sir.
Okay, folks, you're listening to the American Family Radio Network. Alex McFarland, sitting in for Bishop E.W. Jackson, my dear friend Kamal Saleem. Stay tuned. After this brief break, we're going to continue as Kamal teaches us to share Christ with the Muslim world. Don't go away. AFR and The Awakening is back after this.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Over in Workingham, England, there's a fellow by the name of John Baldwin. Mr. Baldwin was busy, it seems, doing nothing. He was so busy doing nothing that he got himself into trouble with the law. He was so busy doing nothing that he did not have time to pick up the mail that was piling up at his front door. Among the letters that Baldwin did not open were demands for tax payments. Baldwin was taken to court, freed on bail pending a tax probe, and allowed to return to his normal pursuits. When asked what he had accomplished in the 30 years he had devoted to restful research, Baldwin replied, "Nothing. That's what I set out to accomplish." Well, you know, there are a lot of folks in this old world who, although they don't go quite to the extreme that Mr. Baldwin does, seem to agree with him on this idea of doing nothing. Or if they do anything, it's for themselves only. And in a real sense, one could say that what Mr. Baldwin does, he does for himself only. It's a real shame that Mr. Baldwin and countless others who do nothing for anyone else and very little for themselves could not come under the influence of the master workman of the world. Their lives would all be a little different if he was allowed to motivate them instead of them attempting to motivate themselves. There is one thing that everyone can be thankful for, and that is that the Creator has not quit his job. Consider what the result would be if he should decide that he'd like to become busy doing nothing. You're talking about a mess? There would be a dilly. But he hasn't decided to quit, and he never will. The Galilean spoke to some who listened one day in the town of his trial, and he said, "My father is working still, and I'm working." If we are hunting for something to be thankful for, there it is. It's a pity that Mr. Baldwin could not come under the influence of the great carpenter. The carpenter would give him some meaningful work to do and would make him happy doing something constructive in this world instead of doing nothing. Some people interested in the subject of doing the work of the Creator asked the carpenter one day, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And he answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Witness the work of those who have believed in him all over the world." Just before the terrible death, this man of all men spoke, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you gave me to do." The one who gave him work to do gives each of us a job also. And to be sure, it's not a job of doing nothing. It would be a wonderful world if we could say the same thing he said before our death also. If you have something to do, get busy. If not, find something.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to The Awakening. Alex McFarland here with Kamal Saleem, and we're talking about your questions for a former Muslim, now a Christian. And before we go to the calls, and they're coming in, and folks, the number toll-free nationwide, 888-589-8840. Kamal, how can people find you? And let me just urge you, folks, this man needs to come speak at your church, your universities. We've used Kamal many, many, many times. He's a joy to bring to your city. How can people get up with you, Kamal? Hey, Kamal, you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How can people find you?
Our ministry is called Koum Ministries, and that is K-O-O-M-E, next word, ministries, it's plural, and I'm an ordained minister. I've been ordained now for 26 years, and what we do is we educate the churches, the universities, civic centers, you know, political parties. You know, we speak every place that we're invited. One of our best ways to find us is to go to KoumMinistries.com. That is K-O-O-M-E, Ministries.com, no spaces. And also, you can call us at 877-274-7303. That's our phone number, toll-free number, 877-274-7303. And you can acknowledge there. You can write to us on our website. You can call us if you have questions, and we'll take it from there.
Wonderful. We're going to go to Texas. This is going to be line two, Bobby Joe in Texas. Bobby Joe, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, thank you for holding. Welcome to The Awakening and our special guest, Kamal Saleem. Do you have a question for Kamal?
I sure do. If you allow me to pick your brain, I'm definitely going to do it. So this would be my question for Kamal. If you had one specific verse, and I'm betting you do, what verse would that be to draw in, and not necessarily a Muslim, but just an unbeliever in general, what would be your most resourceful verse that we can say, this is our Lord, here's the picture of him?
You know, and there is many ways you can go about it in biblical verses, whether it's the love of God and how God talked to Peter, you know, to reach out to God's sheep, or whatever it may be. There's many different ways that we need to understand that these people, many times, they don't understand the gospel if we share a verse from the Bible. But when we share with them the love of God, Jesus told us, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. And so our life is the testimony of, you know, it's just the spirit of prophecy of Jesus Christ. So when we testify to the glory of the living God, what he did for our life, how he changed us, how he helped us in many circumstances, how is the living God that he speak, and he is looking for his children and to bring them in to be part of his kingdom come. And so these are the things that they really need to hear, but the greater things that they need to know more than anything else is the relationship. Jesus Christ came physically to have relationship with us, just like how the Father walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. And so, therefore, we are in a place where, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. And so, therefore, we represent the kingdom, that the love of God is there. And so we share with them the love of God. We feed them, and we pray for them. And we have even that relationship when they need somebody to help them. No matter what that is, you know, we go out of our ways to reach out to them and to bring them in, whether they need a job, whether they need furniture for their house, whether they need food for that day. And so they need to see the action, and that is the scripture that they need to see and hear.
Mm. Hey, I want to go to line three. This is Debbie in Arkansas. Very important question. Debbie, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Thanks for holding, and your question for Kamal Saleem.
I have a daughter who is in college, and she is dating a Muslim. And my question is there a difference in the Muslim religion as far as extreme or not? We've talked with him, and he's from Uzbekistan, and he says his is not the extreme, and they don't let the extremists in their country. So we've been praying for his salvation and welcoming into our home. I just wanted his take on a better understanding of that.
Well, I unfortunately speak to many young women all over the United States of America and throughout Europe. We get calls from all over, what do I do there in a relationship? And unfortunately, when they fall in love, they move forward and they marry that person, and we've seen so far 80%+ of these relationships come to radical change after they marry them. The abuse, the physical abuse, and many other things, you know, because they believe in what's so called Sharia. They believe in a different set of rules of understanding how to treat women. Women is not equal to men, and she is many times in the Quran teaches the Muslim how to subordinate the women by beating them up. you know, beaten them, you know, and bring them to the reality of things. And in Islam, the word of Allah says, "الرجالُ قوامون على النساء," meaning men are owner of women. So women must be owned by a man. So therefore, she is a person that they will own, whether they are radical or not. They still have a theology. They have the understanding of Islam. And as long as they're professing Islam, therefore, they have to adhere to the teaching of Muhammad. And so, therefore, a man can marry four women. The Quran says the fuel of hell is made out of women. So there are many different things, you know, and in the Quran, Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, says women are not smart enough to be equal to men. So women must be subjugated to men. She is, you know, at court, her, you know, her witness versus his is not credible many times, you know. So the man has a true witness, but the woman has half witness. So when you look at this all the way across the board, it is a dangerous place. And many times, these people will sell you anything. Why do I know this? Because I did this. Is to marry to a woman to get the citizenship. And once they get their citizenship, many times you see they change. When they get the green card and what so have you, they can dump that woman, the American woman who is not equal to him, and go and marry a woman from Islam, from Pakistan or whatever that may be, and bring her to the United States of America. And they have the right to marry four women. So therefore, they do not look at this in a good way, but they use the American women in many different ways. It's taught to us from our childhood. The best way to enter to America is through marriage to an American woman.
Mm. Well, sister, we'll be praying for you, Debbie, and for your daughter. We got to hurry here before a break, but Karen in Mississippi. Karen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you for holding. Your question for Kamal.
Yes. Well, I'm a big fan of Kamal. I read the book, The Blood of the Lamb, and I do have both the DVD sets, The Unveiling, The Beautiful Truth and The Ugly Truth. I found myself in a situation a few mornings, go get coffee in the morning, and a Muslim girl would come in there, and me being a Christian, I wanted so bad to talk to her about the Lord, would even bring my little Gideon Bible in my pocket, but fear came over me, because I started thinking about if her father was to find this book, she would be beaten. So I let Satan sink in my mind, and I didn't give her the Bible, and I kind of regret it, but I just wish I was strong enough and had got that fear over me to where I could have shared the God's word with her. So you have any advice?
Yes, good to hear your voice, Debbie, and God bless you for who you are and for your testimony and witness.
Amen. Amen.
Number one, this woman is made in the image of God, and she's smart enough that if you give her a gift, the Muslim are taught to take the word of God, which is the Bible, to take it and cherish it. So therefore, a crew ministry, you can obtain those Bibles from our website as well. They're in English and Arabic. And so when the Muslim reads it, what happened, they have an encounter with God. God is speaking to them audibly many times when they read the Word of God. Fear, it's a syndrome that's holding the church back from advancing the kingdom of God. So we need
hold that
to
thought.
Really...
Hold that thought. We can't let fear hold us back from advancing the kingdom of God. Stay tuned. More with Kamal. Your calls. We will get to you. Don't go away. We're back after this.
I think that sometimes we're so stuck in tradition that we're carrying on traditions that really are not meaningful anymore.
Although it's still 6 or 7 weeks off, you can simplify your Christmas by asking your family what traditions are important to them. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and here's Kathy Lipp.
I remember we had this beautiful Advent calendar, and every year, and I would wrap up these little tiny ornaments that my kids were then to hang on the tree. Well, one year, I think Justin was probably 9. I said, "Justin, you're the first one to open the Advent present." And he said, "Wait, is there money in there?" And I said, "No."
The tide had turned.
And I probably kept going on that Advent calendar for another couple of years. because it was important to me, but it was no longer important to the people that it was intended for.
A great thought from Kathy Lipp, and you can hear more about enjoying the true heart of the upcoming Christmas season at FamilyMinute.org.
Excuse me, ma'am. I'm Kim with Channel 9 News. Can you tell us why you're out here today?
Yes, we're out here to let the school district know that our kids should be allowed to pray and talk about the Bible without being disciplined.
Do you think the school district will listen?
Regardless if they do or not, we are taking a stand.
Well, there you have it, folks. And you too can take a stand by visiting afa.net/the stand, AFA's daily blog delivered to your inbox. Back to you, John.
Tis the season to pack a shoebox. Operation Christmas Child drop-off locations open soon, so don't wait. By filling an empty shoebox with fun toys, school supplies, and hygiene items, you can send the good news of Jesus Christ to a child in need around the world. Drop off your gift at one of our nearly 5,000 locations nationwide during National Collection Week, November 18th through the 25th. Visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more and find a drop-off location near you.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Alex McFarland here, sitting in for Bishop Jackson. Very honored to do that. You're listening to Kamal Saleem. Kamal will be one of the keynote speakers. Now listen to this, folks. Along with Josh McDowell, apologetics legend, Josh McDowell, Erwin Lutzer, the pastor of Moody Church, one of the greatest, most beloved Christian communicators in the world today, Ann Paulk, my colleague from Focus on the Family. Ann Paulk is a former lesbian, and she's going to be talking about lesbianism, transgenderism. Kamal Saleem will be talking about Islam, as we're doing now. Abe Hamilton III, your beloved voice on AFR, many people know him, legal expert, political expert, Abe Hamilton, much, much more. It's this weekend, Friday and Saturday, November 15, 16. We're in Cincinnati, Ohio. Complete info is at alexmcfarland.com. And we could not do it. I want to say a big, big thank you to the American Family Radio Network for helping us promote. And Kamal, we have people coming from as far away as South Dakota, coming to Ohio, to TNG. Because listen, we're going to get equipped. We're going to have a revival. Folks, God is on the move. And I'll be speaking. Here's what I'll be speaking on, folks. Listen carefully. Transgenderism, atheism, homosexuality, how to parent a once Christian child who has fallen away. If you've got a child that's rocked your world, fallen away, we're going to be talking about that. I'll tell you, while we queue up the next caller, we're going to go to David online too in just a moment. But Kamal, give a final word for people who might have fear, afraid to witness to a Muslim.
Well, before I go further, I just want to say this gentleman that's standing before us, you know, Alex McFarland, is an amazing man of God. He is selfless, and he is his character is solid. And why do I know this? Because when he does all this, the TNG, the Truth for New Generation, and what so have you, he doesn't do it for the money. He doesn't even get paid a penny for this. Many times he suffers so much to travel all over and do so much work to be a blessing. This man is a good witness to the kingdom of God, and he is the man that he raises his own fund to really advance the kingdom, and he doesn't do it for himself. This is one of the best things that can happen to our nation. We need to cherish and invite Alex McFarland to your city, to your nation. All those churches, whether small or big, don't worry about how you're going to provide funds. You invite him, and God will provide all things. I want to say this. Forgive me.
Amen. Well, to God be the glory. You're very gracious. To God be the glory. And folks, come. You've got time. Let's convene on Cincinnati. Let's get equipped, and let's pray for the awakening our nation so desperately needs. Let's go to line two with David. David, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, you're talking with Kamal Saleem on the American Family Radio Network.
Yes, I won't go into all the details, but my question just refers to the word Allah. I did spend many years overseas among Christian Arabs that never were Muslim, that were always Christian. And just want to hear from you, as a was a Muslim and now a Christian, the word Allah means God. And to me, I've always used it and heard it, but yet now scared to use it at times because with the word Allah meaning God, as a Christian, I say Nushkur Allah, thank God, or Inshallah, Lord willing. And then as of now, of course, when you say Allahu Akbar, then that means God is the greatest, which to me, my God, God of Christianity is, but I can't say that because everybody thinks of that as being, you know, as a Muslim saying that, and that's what the jihadists say. But
yeah.
My question is, with like with the Injil, the word God means Allah, are you able to use that freely, or are you at times like, I cannot say the word Allah because people might think I'm referring to the God of Muhammad when Allah is also the God of Christianity, the God of
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
How would you explain to me, you know, how you use it? Because I'm kind of torn at times to use it because I hear so much even on this network. Whenever you hear the word Allah, it always referring to the God of Muhammad, not the God of Christianity.
The Word of God says every good and perfect gift comes from heaven above. We need to understand that the Antichrist, even though he has an anti, you know, personality to Christianity, to Christ himself, that yet, you know, he used the same naming convention as Christ. And so when we look at all this, the name Allah comes derivative from the word Elohim. Elohim, you know, it's a Hebraic word. It's, you know, that the Jewish use. So before Islam, before Christianity, you know, the word Elohim was used all the time. So when Islam came, they incorporated many of the values the Christian and Jews have and put it in Islam, but yet it has a different deities and it has different connotation. So when you say Allah, the God, you know, the God of the Christian and Jews, it is God of heaven and earth. But Allah Akbar is in the book of Isaiah. This is where God had a conversation in the book of Isaiah 13 and 14 all the way to 17. And he talked to Satan. He said, you have reason in your heart and you have set your throne above the star of God, meaning Akbar. You know, so therefore he made himself as a God above God himself. And you have set your throne on the Mount of Assembly where it is Jerusalem today. And you see, you know, where the two mosques are set right there in the middle of taking, you know, the Mount of Olives, you know, for Islam. So therefore, he said, how have you fallen, son of dawn, son of morning, son? So when we look at this, the deity of the name Allah, when we use it for the, you know, Hebraic or for Christianity, in Arabic or in English, it is God of heaven and earth. But when it's used for Allah Akbar, meaning he's setting his throne above the throne of God, and he's making himself Akbar, meaning Allah, meaning higher, bigger, and greater. So therefore, you are doing the right thing. Don't be afraid to use this word, because even when we talk to a Muslim, we lead them by the name of Allah. So stay the course and finish strong, but your Allah and their Allah is not the same Allah.
Wow, okay. Line six, James in Texas. James, are you still there? Okay, how about line five? A question about the reference earlier to the prophet. Is line five still there? Okay, Sir, I don't have your name, but introduce yourself, sir. You're on. Hello, hello. Muhammad in Ohio, are you there?
Yes, sir.
How you doing? Oh, yes. Thank you for listening. Your question for Kamal Saleem.
Yes, I have a question for Kamal. You said when a prostitute woman comes to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that she wanted to be a Muslim and he turned her away, and a woman is not equal to a man, things like that. I want you to tell me in what book you refer that to.
Well, it is in the Hadith, it is in the Quran, and it is in the Seerah. You know, Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, when he talked, he said, as Allah, in the Hadith Bukhari, and Muslim verified this, they said, as Allah, you know, gave a woman her period, so he gave her half the brain of a man. So she is not his equal. This is what Muhammad said verbatim.
And Muhammad, I want to say thanks for listening. Muhammad, I take it you're a Muslim, correct?
Yes, I am a Muslim, but the reason why I'm calling, because if you want to call people to Christianity, I'm not calling to put any religion down. All I'm saying is if you got to call people to Christianity or whichever religion, you need to tell the truth. And he knows that he's not telling the truth, because in the Quran, Allah said, وَمَا أَرْسَلَّكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We didn't send you just as a mercy for humanity. There is no way. There is no reference in the Hadith or in the Quran where a prostitute came to him and he turned her away.
Well, I want to give Kamal a chance to respond. Let me just say this, Muhammad. I appreciate you listening. I know you're in Ohio. Two things I would say. There is a ministry there that I have ministered with called Call of Love. I would love for you to know about them. If you're anywhere near Cincinnati, I would love for you to come to the Truth for New Generation event. And please, there's a lot we could say, but I want to, in the interest of time, Kamal, give you a chance to respond.
Well, the Quran in Surah 45 and 21 says word for word, says, say what? Do those who seek after evil ways think of what they shall hold them equal with those who believe and do righteous deeds? And so that equal will be their life and their death. So therefore, you know, this is in the Quran. This is what Allah professed. You know, so he said those are evil deeds. When the prostitute came to Muhammad and asked him for this, therefore she was blemished and she was not equal. And that is in Sirah, and that is also in Sahih Bukhari wa Muslim. That is the traditions of Islam, that which is part of Sharia
law. Let me just say this, because time fleets away, and Kamal, how much I appreciate you being. Muhammad in Ohio, how much I appreciate you listening. But here's one thing, and Kamal, I want your response. Regardless of the cultural nuances, the subjugation of women or Jews or Christians, whatever, here's the thing that we need to step back and look at. Jesus claimed to be the incarnation of God. Jesus claimed to be God incarnate, and he rose from the dead. And we have a lineage of the manuscripts. We have the New Testament, the Injil, the Gospel, accurately preserved. It tells us of Jesus who rose from the dead. Kamal, isn't the definitive proof the fact that Jesus rose from the grave, thereby validating that he is the Son of God?
Yes, he is. And when I was in a car wreck, Jesus came to me and he healed my heart, my mind, and he healed my physical body. Well, I called on Allah first, and Allah didn't answer. But when I waited before Jesus, he healed me, and he gave me a new life.
That's wonderful. Hey, Koome Ministries, K-O-O-M-E, Ministries, I-E-S. You can reach Kamal. Alex McFarland here. I'll be back on in 2 hours on Exploring the Word with Bert Harper. Thank you for listening to the American Family Radio Network. And folks, please pray, promote, plan to attend Truth for New Generation this weekend in Cincinnati. We'll see you next time on The Awakening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.